أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وأصحابه من والاه. We continue today from سورة الملك into سورة القلم. Maybe before we get started and while people join, any questions about سورة الملك or any reflections that you had last week? I know Brother Najm had a beautiful reflection about why death came before. Yes, go ahead.
You know, when we're looking at the sky?
Yes. Yeah.
But I think maybe it's actually a sign of the surrender of creation to Allah's will.
Yeah. Does anything come out of order of Allah? It submits to Allah.
Yeah, like it never says, like the sky doesn't say, oh, I'd like to have a rift here.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
It just submits to whatever Allah says.
And there are ayahs that prove that. There are other ayahs in the Qur'an that prove that, and even the mountains and everything is under the possession of Allah and the submission of Allah. So why humans? Actually, the surah that we did a few weeks ago, we said, وَالْعَادِيَاتُ ضَبْحَ, the one we talked about, the horses running. So this is the opposite of the example. Look at the loyalty of the horse for the night. They're running into battle, willing to die out of loyalty for who's riding them. You cannot even at minimum match a horse. Like, so the reverse of it. So one is the submission of the sky to Allah, but look at the loyalty of the horse to its riding. And you wouldn't even do that for Allah. You wouldn't even. So Surah Al-Adiyat gives us that beautiful meaning of how Allah expects us to submit. Again, we're going to rotate between two words, Allah and Rabb. But this surah, we're going to get into the concept of Rabb. Why does Allah rotate between these two words, inshallah? Any other reflections before we continue about Surah Al-Mulk or questions? Yes?
Just a question here. I think maybe I missed it. Because,
sure.
So Surah Al-Mulk, Prophet has mentioned that if we decided...
Every day or every night.
Yeah,
the every day is the unanimous night is considered part... Yeah.
And then if it saves us in the Azab al-Kabir and all those stuff, so what is the relationship?
That when you begin the surah, if you and we made this reflection last week, when you begin the surah, you'll notice Allah says... repeat it for the sisters. So one of the questions is, why is this surah a surah we're supposed to read every day? And last week we talked about the bounties of the surah, but I want to also connect it to Surah Al-Kahf. And we connected it last week. This idea of the... So we read Surah Al-Kahf every... Friday. Mulk every day. And in both of them, the idea of Allah testing, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, I believe it's ayah number 7 in Surah Al-Kahf and ayah number 2 in Surah Al-Mulk. The two ayahs are almost the same. Almost the same. Saying, what is the point of life? What is the... So, humans need a daily reminder of why are you living? Purposeless humans, we're going to get through purposeless humans in Surah Al-Qalam. But purposeless humans imitate. They don't know why they're doing what they're doing. Even if they say they're doing it for money, they don't even know why they're doing that. But having that understanding that Allah is your tester, and that this test is not a game, and it's not a means of punishment, because some people want to turn Allah as if every mistake you make, He's punishing you on the spot. And everything is this misunderstanding of Rabb. Surah Al-Mulk goes in and says, reminding you of why this test does exist. What are you supposed, how am I supposed to feel, you know, that certainty in my heart that Allah is there to support? How do I get to that feeling? And Allah, we did that exercise last week, I know it was bizarre, but we took everyone out of the masjid to look at the sun. Hal min futur? Is there a crack in the sky? Even that question is like, some people are like, why do I need to look at the sky to double check that? No, the question is, every time you look at the sky, you're supposed to see Allah's challenge that, man, Allah built this universe in a very precise, perfect method. Why is it then that I do doubt Allah in my tests? When the world is perfect, why can I not trust Allah through my own tests? This is actually Surah Al-Qalam. Surah Al-Qalam will take us to a very beautiful scene of the sandwich between Surah Al-Mulk and Surah Al-Haqqa. So we said Surah Al-Mulk, when you entered, there were four exams for the wife of Lut, the wife of Nuh, the wife of Fir'aun, and Maryam. And these four women, then you see a test. And you'll notice all four, their conditions. If I was to tell you, there is a woman married to a prophet, your human assumption would say what? She should be a believer, righteous believer. But she wasn't. And then the wife of Fir'aun, she should be La ilaha illallah, a tyrant, oppressive person. She was one of the top four believers in mankind. So you, when you enter Surah Al-Mulk, you enter with the expiry of exams. And then when you get into Surah Al-Qalam, the ultimate person that passed the exam of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Qalam. So Surah Al-Mulk is trapped between four exams, okay, two women that failed and two women that passed. Surah Al-Qalam, the man that passed, okay? This is the, according to the ulama, Al-Qalam means the pen. According to the ulama, this might have been the second surah to be revealed. It's definitely in the first five. Okay? But there are ulama disagreeing. Is Muddathir second? Is Al-Qalam second? Is it Muzammil Muddathir? Is it Muddathir Muzammil? All these, but these were in the beginning. Interestingly, when the Prophet ﷺ received, what's the first surah that he received? Iqra. And if you believe in the school of thought that this is the second surah, Noon, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ قَلَم, pen, يَسْطُرُونَ, writing. But writing here is plural, not one. يَسْطُرُونَ, not يَسْطُر, يَسْطُرُونَ, there's plural. So reading and writing, and people miss that detail because they're like, we're the ummah of Iqra. We're the ummah of Iqra and write. We're the ummah of, so that it's as if the foundation of Islam is knowledge, but not any knowledge. Knowledge, Bismillah. Why? Because you can build knowledge, like right now, and try to new countries. Is that beneficial knowledge? No. So, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of its beauty is they will exhaust all means of knowledge seeking, religious and non-religious, to serve Allah. You're a great engineer, to serve Allah. You're a great doctor, to serve Allah. You're a great restaurant owner, to serve Allah. You're a great delivery person, to serve Allah. There is no knowledge seeking moment that's not Bismillah. Bismillah. So this is a very important concept in Islam, because some people like to secularize Iqra to become more liberal. You don't reverse Islam. If you have to understand that Islam is foundation, it's the pillars of the building. Some people try to move the building to fit it with other ideologies. We don't do that in Islam. We say this, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Oh, but brother, that this is that. You'll see in Surah Al-Qalam, the defense against all the propaganda, and you will see replicas of these propaganda today from Surah Al-Qalam. The first thing is, they say, first of all, Nun, the first one, letter, this is the first letter to come down. So you know how we hear Alif Lam Mim? Alif Lam Ra, Qaf, Alif Lam Mim Ra, Sad, all these letters. So this is the first, so the Arab, for the first time, I just want you to imagine, a politician goes up and says, N, you're not crazy. And everyone's like, sorry, brother, what did you just say? N, what do you mean? So the first letter, Noon, we say, Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'a, do we know the meanings of them?
No.
We try. Ulama will group Alif Lam Memes, Alif Lam Ra. We're in search, we're in knowledge seeking mode to figure it out. I did try one time to write a script, taqwais, to try to find. I did try. I actually have an application that I use, that uses AI, to try to derive the connection between the sawar and the either statistical quantities of R, or all of that. No, I could never reach it. Yes.
You look at the phonosemantics also.
You could, but it's nothing has ever proven conclusive. The groupings make a lot of sense. Like for example, all the Alif Lam Ra surahs, most of them, including Al Hajj, are talking specifically about prophets. Alif Lam Mim Makkis, are talking about specific. Alif, Lam, Mim, Madani are talking about specifics. The groupings do make sense. But can you uncrack why is it Alif, Lam, Mim? Why? And this does something when you read the Quran in the beginning. Stay humble. Why? Because that inquisitive mind that we all have has a limit. And Noon reminds you, it's like, wallahi, I want to figure it out, but I have a limitation as a human. So the first letter right away is I'jaz. And then wal qalam wa ma yasturun. And then what is jawab al qasam? So we always say there's an oath. The oath is Allah swears by the pen, which is the first of creation, wa ma yasturun, what they write. This is the oath. What is the answer of the oath in the surah? Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. No, Ya Rasulullah, you are not crazy. Why? Because there's a rumor as soon as the Quran came down, the Prophet ﷺ said he's a messenger and all of that. And they're like, you're going to break our society. The rumor mill begins. And the one of the first, there are a few rumors. One of them, one of the initial ones is they labeled the Prophet ﷺ crazy. So the Quran comes down to defend the Prophet ﷺ, says, no, no. And the word ma is used. Not at all. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. You are not crazy. So that's the entry to the surah. One thing interesting here is how will Allah prove that He's not crazy? How will Allah do that? Two things. One, we passed by it, but people didn't notice. The pen. And what's written? The Quran. Because one of the criticism about the Prophet ﷺ, how could this book come down to someone that cannot read or write? But one of the best ways to prove it is, if you want to know someone's sanity, you look at the work they produce. So how could the Prophet ﷺ come with such coherent, sound, reasonable artifact like the Quran? Look and read the Quran that's being written. How could someone that can't read or write, if he is crazy, how could crazy people produce such amazing text? You're criticizing him. How do we know he's not crazy? Look at the sound, because not just great writing. I'm not talking about great logical writing. Requires memory, requires sequential reasoning. So when the book is written so perfectly, how could you claim he's crazy? Again, if someone came to us today and said, I am a prophet, we will all automatically say, he's crazy, right? We would do it. But Allah says, okay, anyone can come and claim, but what is the evidence? Look, forget the what's being said. Look at the artifact he produced. How can a crazy person produce such text? مَا أَنْتَ بِهِ وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. So first, Allah didn't answer the argument first by saying what. He said, first of all, Ya Rasulullah, you're my audience. You are going to get such a reward. غَيْرَ مَمْنُون means it will never cut off. It's always going to continue. So one of the things to the Prophet is tasliya. We call it in the tasliya means it gives tathbeet al-fu'ad. It lets the Prophet ﷺ's heart cool down. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا خَيْرًا مَمْنُونَ. So all this difficulty propaganda, remember, the Prophet ﷺ, the years before in Nabuwa, he was a sadiq, the honest, and al-amin, the trustworthy. Imagine, when he dealt with him in the market, he wasn't Rasulullah, he was just to them Muhammad. And when they deal with him, that is the guy that solves our problems. When you go to his house, orphans, poor people, he was a man of akhlaq, even before Islam. So it's not like, for example, he came down and the people didn't know him. And that's why in one of the surahs it says, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ. Your friend, your companion, you guys know him. You know him in and out. You've seen him for 40 years. It's not crazy. That's in another surah. Your friend, your companion. Why? Because in the beginning, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, which is who the surah talking about, began the propaganda of destroying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's credibility. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Now there's the evidence to the sanity question. You have such great akhlaq. Now interestingly here the ulama said, how come It didn't say great salah, great siyam, great akhlaq, and great the in and out of deen is important. And this is why we said salah from Surah Al-A'la, Allah, we said there were two items, I keep repeating them in the khutbas, that prove that you're praying. فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ a different surah. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى الذي قدر فسوى الذي أخرج فجعل غثاء نفسه أخرج فلم تسأل ما شاء الله إني أنا رجاء إني سكت فذكر نفسه سأذكر ما شاء الذي يصنع النار ثم لم يتك قد أفلح من؟ تزكى و ذكر اسم ربه. What was the outcome? فصلى. So your salah, the surah proves to us what? That inner cleansing, tazkiyah, plus understanding the names of Allah and mentioning Allah and understanding its glory of the names of Allah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ خَلَاص. Now فَصَلَّى. Now he's praying. So when someone says, I pray, but I have a problem, I don't feel it, go back to these two root items, these two pillars, and see, is there a tazkiyah problem? Is there something that needs to change inside? And this is why we're saying the Prophet ﷺ had the inside ready. That the what is the proof for this? You read the ayah, and it says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. If you understand the Arabic language, عَلَى is on. You are on the great akhlaq, the great character. How could you be on it? Which means the Prophet ﷺ intentionally, I believe it's Ibn al-Qayyim, but talked about the ala versus bih versus lih versus fa. No one gets ala khuluqan azim except if he is commanding his character. He intentionally worked on his akhlaq. Ala khuluqan azim. His akhlaq is something that he's above. You know when someone is so good at the top of the game? Ala khuluqan azim. It's as if the akhlaq is a horse. When we say ala in the Arabic language, Ahmed sat ala dab, on the creature, on the horse, ala dab. So he's ala. This is such a beautiful meaning that the Prophet's akhlaq wasn't just good, wasn't just great, but he commanded it and he pushed for it. So this tells you, it reminds us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. This intense tazkiyah that humans need to do to cleanse oneself so that the salah outcome start makes sense. Or else the salah is just like, Allahu Akbar, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. When you're going through that, there's no tazkiyah and there's no understanding of the names of Allah. Because when you say Allahu Akbar, it passes by, whoof, Subhana Rabbil Azim, whoof, Subhana Rabbil A'la. So now you start understanding that the akhlaq, one side of it, and a manifestation of it in our spirituality, salah, goes hand in hand together. One can lead to the other backwards and frontwards, like both ways. So, we said you are not ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. You are not bi ni'ma, and in the English translation, I put the English translation in WhatsApp group. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon is translated and your Lord's blessing does not make you a madman. Why would Allah mention blessing? Let's think about it. Why would Allah says your Lord's blessings, bi ni'mah? Why? Because let's reflect. Why? Why would Allah not say ma anta bi majnoon? Why is there ni'mah in there? Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon. Why did Allah place ni'mah in there? Why would Allah place? Because the ultimate ni'mah that Allah gave to Quran, Islam, Hidayah. So this Quran cannot be driving someone crazy. It actually helps people. So the ultimate ni'mah is hidayah. Why? Because the surah now will talk about people that were, you came and destroyed our economy. You came and destroyed our this. You'll see these arguments coming up. So Allah says, wait a second. The sign of a society progressing or regressing is not if the economy is going better or worse. And this is the difficult thing people have to do. Oh my God, the economy is so tough. Inflation. Their la ilaha illallah moment comes out in inflation. But Allah says the ultimate ni'mah is whether good times or bad times, are you still with Allah? The ultimate ni'mah is hidayah. If you have hidayah and the world is going upside down, you have the world. If you don't have hidayah and you're the richest man on the planet, you're in the ultimate loser. So Allah says the ni'mah and doesn't tell you what it is. He lets your mind think about it. What is the ni'mah? Why? Because the surah now will reverse engineer. You know jujitsu or judo? When someone's hitting you but you reverse hit, Allah will label the Prophet's character, and then he's like, you want to know who the people that have problematic characters? We're going to talk about them. But first of all, Ya Rasulullah, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika. By Allah's blessings, you can't be crazy. And the idea also of the writing and al-qalam, the pen, is that angels are writing. There are witnesses. We said plural yasturun, plural writing, which means the angels are writing. There are witnesses that he's not crazy. Just because the whole town says he is, doesn't make him that. This is a very important lesson for Muslims. People do not define you. People do not define. Even family members do not define you. Allah defines you. The ultimate hidayah is when you get your self-assurance and your confidence from Allah. And imagine Allah is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, in the Quran, in an ayah, innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. From now on, it's part of the Quran, forever. There will be tafsirs in Stittsville, in Sao Paulo, in Brazil, in Buenos Aires, in everywhere. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. You're going to get an ajr that doesn't cut off. صَلَّى عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. You all said عليه الصلاة والسلام وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah mentions that as an ayah in the Quran. We have honored your mention. Every time your name will come on the planet, there will be عليه الصلاة والسلام. So your reward will not cut off, and people will make salah upon you even after you pass away. From this ayah on, Allah staples the reward. So now the challenge is to the kuffar. Can you even staple your own legacy in Quraysh? You can. Allah is going to make the Prophet ﷺ global. From this ayah on, it's done. It's written. Qalam yasturun. Now we go into the challenge. You will see, فَسَتُبْصِرُ وَيُبْصِرُونَ, and they will see. The challenge is open. So there's no answer right away. And then the challenge will move towards the non-believers. But before we continue, any questions about this strong opening from the Prophet ﷺ is the one who passed the exam in Surah Al-Mulk? Any question about that? So far so good? All right. Then the question is, بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَفْتُونَ. You would have expected, who's crazy? بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَجْنُونَ. The surah started you saying he's crazy, but it didn't define the other as crazy. Two things the ulama talked about. If the others were defined as majnoon, then do crazy people go to Jahannam? No. يُرْفَعَ الْقَلَمْ عَنْ. There's no. So Allah says the challenge isn't in the craziness. It's maftoon, maftoon. One of its meanings is who's really taken over by shaitan. Really, that is the character problem. Who's the maftoon? Who's the one that has been, and we said this ayah from Surah Al-Zukhruf, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرَ الرَّحْمَنِ. And those who abandon or stray away from mentioning Allah, نُقَيِّدُ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا. So shaitan gets stapled to you. You can safely assume people that are not close to Allah displace that space. There's no air in Islam. There's no zero. There's no void. It's either you're with Allah or you're with shaitan. The fact that someone is not really evil is a shaitan status. Because sometimes shaitan doesn't want you to be really evil. Just don't go to Allah. So he'll explain to you like, man, you know, I'm not that bad. Like, I know people that say, I don't pray, I don't fast, but I'm not evil. As if this is the middle. This is actually sometimes more dangerous. Why? Because that convinces you not to make a move. So shaitan has you in that area. Why would he move you into a more dangerous area? You're perfect like that. You're making Allah angry with you, but you feel good about yourself. Keep going. So shaitan paints. So we say that, بِأَيُّكُمْ الْمَفْتُونَ. Really, you want to know who's maftoon. And maftoon, which of you is the demented, is in the English translation. Now, we're going to get into the 11 descriptions of that. But I want to say something really important. Allah did not define al-kuffar or al-mujrimeen, according to Surah Al-Qalam, as a permanent status. These are descriptions that he didn't say you're going to always be bad people. And this is something important for us. We don't paint others or Muslims. Again, in the era of social media, permanent labeling has been such a problem. That even they're like, this brother, kafir forever, he did that one mistake. This scholar did this one, forever this. You never know when people will come back to Allah. Wallahi al-azim, I have seen in my life prostitutes come back to Allah. I have seen people you cannot imagine making a comeback, and you're like, man, the first word comes like, subhanallah, how that person made a comeback. And their story of how they made a comeback sometimes is scarier than the job they said. They're like, I was in this. I had a brother that passed away in Calgary. I was very close to him. He was in jail. And he was part of a gang. No one served our masjid like him. Everyone in masjid knew that brother. He passed away young, okay? But if you were to meet that brother, again, full tax, everything, if you were to do the current method of cancel culture, you would have said there's no hope in this brother. But to see his comeback from where he came from, to serve in the masjid, full out, wallahi, sometimes I feel when he passed away, it's like he must have known he's going to pass, because he worked in the masjid harder than any of us. Any of us. Like, none of us could match his effort. And this is something so important. We don't label people, because this is the era of labeling. Oh, they have this. Oh, they have this mental disorder. Oh, they could have a problem, but they could make a comeback to Allah. They could make, so always open the door for people to make a comeback. The evidence, imagine if Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab before Islam got labeled, or Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid would get labeled for what he did to the Muslims in Uhud. Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid was the architect of the army of Kuffar against the Muslims, and it was one, that's actually, when you look at him, he will become Minister of Defense of Muslims. I want you to imagine you're following a minister of defense that killed your cousins, killed your uncle, killed your son. So he didn't only become Muslim, he became your leader. Why? Because during that time, the idea that someone can change and become a better human was the default. In our time today, the opposite is true. They will never change. Why? Because of the 11 descriptions we're going to talk about, the bad people. And Allah will give these decisions, and you will see the parallel to today. And you'll, wallahi, it's such a beautiful surah. Again, I apologize if I don't cover the full surahs. Sometimes the surah gets heavy. Any questions before I continue? So, the surah will begin from ayah number 7 and going down. Indeed, your Lord is He who knows better, who has strayed from His way, and it is He who knows better of the rightly guided. It's not your job, Ya Rasulullah, and it's not your job, Ya Muslimin, to decide this, who's guided and misguided. This doesn't mean go befriend a tyrant. I'm just not saying, please don't take my advice this, but the idea that they can never make a comeback, don't make that a default state. So do not obey the disbelievers. They would like you to compromise, then they would too compromise, and do not obey any despicable swearer, halaf and mahim. One of the first features is they swear a lot. Wallahi! Wallahi! Wallahi is a bad sign of a person. Why? Because you're covering up for something. If it's the truth, you don't always have... You can, and Islam hilf is allowed. But halaf is... You know, there are politicians. They're like, I swear that... you said I swear. We have in the Quran, halaf in maheen. It's a sign I should not obey you. So there are features that we're told Allah, if you see this, all you ask is just do not obey. You don't have to cancel culture them. If they change that attribute, we welcome you in, and we test you, we welcome you in. So you could have been halaf and maheen? Yes, you changed, hidayah, we're with you. What, are you a hypocrite? No, we have an open door policy. This is an exam, and we want everyone to pass. And Sheikh Sha'rawi used to say something beautiful. Why would we want to partner with shaitan in getting people to Jahannam? We want to partner with the Prophet ﷺ to get people to Jannah. So the idea of us partnering with shaitan, why would we want that? Success for us is getting everyone in Jannah if they want. If they don't, we know how to keep our distance. Alright? So, we continue. And do not obey any despicable swearer, backbiter, spreader of malicious gossip. All these are features of people, and this is why the people you gotta watch out, are they always backstabbing people in the society? Are they always, they are bad, this is bad, and this is the danger of social media. The danger of social media is what? It took us into an era of social media warfare. We became all of us judges, and we all became, we know better than everyone. It's very important. This surah tells us, be careful of going down that slide. And do not backbiter, preventer of good, transgressor, sinful, brutal. Brutal. Preventer of good, transgressor, sinful, brutal. Moreover, of spurious parentage, just because he has money and sons. And كان ذا مال وبني. One of the interesting ones in there is مناع للخير معتد أثيم. مناع للخير, they block good. They will cause famines. This actually describes politicians a lot. مناع للخير is what? Because some people argue with me. They're like, you know what? Look, GDP grew in the world. We don't need religion anymore. Money's growing. We're richer than any time we have been before. So Allah says, أن كان ذا مال وبنين. Did it just because they got money and children? That's the definition of progress. Quraysh had money, and there's a surah about that. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Who gave you that journey of summer and winter? Who's the one that supported the great grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ when it was all bandits and pirates? Like they were cutting caravans every day. They were cutting caravans. Who's the one that gave you this great economy? It was Allah. Now you guys entitled yourself to the economy. No, Ya Rasulullah, you're gonna come and destroy this Quraysh legacy of our economy, of our statues. So you're combating the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and calling him crazy because of that. So now you get to see the beginning of Surah Al-Qalam is what? He's not crazy. The real issue is you guys got these bad attributes. And these bad attributes, you'll see at the very end of the surah, they say, لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. Those kuffar, what are they doing? They're just staring at you with their eyes, with this evil eye. This evil eye. Why? Because the way they hear the Qur'an converts into حقد, حسد, evil. Remember what we did? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. We talked about حسد. The eye, their evil begins from their eye. How? When they look at you, they look at you. They wish you don't do better. They wish worse for you. A Muslim eye doesn't wish worse for anyone else. Even for kuffar, we wish for them Islam. So we differ even at the stage of the eye. We don't even have... So the akhlaq, Allah told them, it sits right here, your akhlaq. When you're looking at the Prophet ﷺ, that transaction, everything coming to your eye is almost like radiating evilness. Why are you looking at the Prophet like that? Why that negative energy with the Prophet ﷺ? So I gave you the beginning and the end. Then Allah will put an amazing story in the middle. So Allah's talking here about Walid ibn Mughira. This persona that their heart is full of something not right. And then Allah will give a story about people in Yemen or Ethiopia. If it's in Yemen, if you Google right now, in Yemen, there's an area called Ashab al-Jannah. It is not a high probability. I don't know it's exactly the Quran or not, but this is the garden that it's believed to have burnt down by Allah. What is the story? The Quran starts the story from the middle. It doesn't give us a lot of details. It says, إِنَّ بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. We are testing these people of Quraysh like we've tested the people of Jannah, the people of the gardens. What was the story of the people of the garden? Amen. Used to give a third, this is not in the Quran, a third of his farm as donation to the poor, to the masakeen. He ran his farm through them. So, for free, they get the food. You want to go pick your apple, pick whatever you want. Okay? So two-thirds he is his business, one-third for the poor. What ended up happening? His sons inherited him. Now the Quran will begin the story from his sons. We don't know about the story of the father in the Quran. إِنَّ بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا, this is exactly where the problem was. I want you to read this ayah and try to figure out when you look at the story, there's really nothing wrong in it. When we look at Islam, we're like, you know what? It's their farm. They want to take their produce. What's wrong, man? إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا, they made an oath. Remember how we talked, the people that swear by Allah, swear, 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 swear. The first thing they did was swear. Swear by Allah that إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَا يَصْرِمُنَّا مُصْبِحِينَ. They will take all the produce of the farms that their dad owned. Now it passed to them, he died. It passed to them, it's all ours. The poor will not take anything. We own the farm. We own the garden. No one will take anything. So in the sense of ownership is like that, Allah answers them. Look at the beauty of the answer. So this is in ayah number 18. So first of all, وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ, let me go to the English translation, ayah number 18. Without any reservation, there's another translation to it. They did not say inshallah. This is not in the English translation, but it's in the tafsir. They did not say inshallah. And وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ, no exceptions. We're going to take every single piece of farm, produce, all that for us. So Allah answers before telling you what happens. فَطَفَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. So Allah describes two scenes. The punishment coming down from the sky, and they are sleeping. So while they're sleeping, Allah sends the punishment down. فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ. The garden turned fully black. That Jannah, the gardens looked very black. Like this is, it doesn't, when you look at it, the photos of the one that exists in Yemen today, if it is the one, it's scary. It looks like volcanic remnants. فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ. Then Allah will describe, after the punishment came down, they have no idea. They're waking up from their sleep. The evil plan, we did it yesterday. أَقْسَمُوا, وَاللَّهِ, we're going to take our produce. And then what happens? They continue on. So they call each other in the morning in a low whisper voice. We're going to go. We're going to do. We got this. Blah, blah, blah. Seeker, we're going to take this farm. It's ours. Blah, blah, blah. The evil plan continues. And then Allah says in verses 20, and in the morning it was without any reservation, then a sweeping visitation from your Lord swept through it while they were asleep. And in the morning it was as though harvested, so they called to each other in the early morning, go early to your field if you're going to harvest. So they set out murmuring, low voice to one another. No one, destitute person, is to enter it upon you today. Will not let anyone come in. It's the manna' lil khair. Remember we said, blocks good. So if you see a poor person in, kick him out. Kick him. Why? Allah says that disease of entitlement in the heart, that this feeling that you have that all these ni'am are mine, a lot of the anger comes from wrong sense of ownership. If you understand Surah Al-Mulk, you'll understand he's the owner. But when you shifted into Surah Al-Qalam and you didn't get it, you need to go back to Surah Al-Mulk to understand he's the owner. He's the owner of everything. Your end time is tomorrow. He's the owner. Your car, he's the owner. Your body, he's the owner. So what am I? You're a renter. You're a renter. You rented your body. The proof? Tell me when you're going to die. You don't know. Tell me, did you like your name when you were born? Did you have the power to change your name when you were born? No, even your name is borrowed. Someone looked at you and gave you a name. Even the one they call you by is not yours. You're a product of something else. So Allah tells you, if you recognize that, you'll be less frustrated. You'll be less frustrated. When do you get frustrated? When you don't understand al-mulk, the surah before it. But what happens if I still don't understand then the next surah, al-haqqa, judgment day, fear. You either understand al-mulk or it's judgment day. That's why the ending takes you towards, if you don't get those two surahs, the ownership and the spiritual world, wallahi, it's yawm al-qiyam. There's no solution. Al-haqqa. Mal-haqqa. Any questions so far? Sorry for scaring you guys. Some brothers are sweating. All right.
Does it mean that we can be punished even for planning before execution?
Does it, a very beautiful question. Does it mean we could be punished for planning before execution? It's a beautiful question. Even in this surah, it will tell you two types of punishment. The adhab of dunya, and عذاب الآخرة. And the ayah will tell you that there is some people will get عذاب in dunya. But Allah is telling you what? No plan that you do, except He knows you're going to do it. And He knows your plan. But this surah was meant to pass to everyone on the planet from here on. By the way, some of the ulama in tafsir say they did get replaced with another garden. So, did they get a punishment and did they get a reward? Possibly. But can Allah punish you for something? First of all, is it a punishment? It's His garden. He gets to do what He wants. The question is, did they really own it? Or did Allah own it? You see that distinction? If we think the people owned it, it was a Yawm al-Qiyamah for them. But it's Allah's. Allah owns it. And this is a very important thing, is that we think any decision we have on our items, it's what do we get punished for? Is it the doing of the crime? Or is that feeling, is the heart not being good? So Allah is saying, when your heart is not there, when your heart is not fixated, it's a problem. It's really the corruption of the heart is the issue, not the action. So some people make a mistake and it's a mistake. So it's not like Allah's waiting on a mistake and you get punished right away. But the idea that the corruption of the heart, the problem is أقسموا, they swore. It's not that they planned. إذ أقسموا ليصرمنه أقسموا. And Allah says in the ayah before, كل حلاف مهين, everyone that swears. This insistence on doing bad. This insistence on destroying their dad's legacy. Their dad left them a barakah land. They put the barakah out. So Allah says, this gardens were beautiful because of the father. What you guys are doing is taking the fruit out of your father. I gave this garden to your dad because of the barakah. Now you want to take out the barakah? No. Reclaim your honor with Allah and start again. Do you understand that distinction? Now, the interesting thing is when they get to the burnt gardens now. So they will say, فَلَمَّ رَأَوْهَا, when they saw it, قَالُوا إِنَّ لَضَالُونَ. When they saw it, they thought they were lost. Lost geographically. But the beautiful part is we use, you know, when you said فَتَحَ الضَالِينَ, ضَالُونَ, ضَالِينَ, it's the same word, same exact word. It's just, where is it in the sentence? So ضَال, we're lost, even though they're saying we're geographically lost. When you read it, you're geographically lost, but you're really spiritually lost. So you by mistake say, oh my God, we're lost. Yeah, and spiritually lost. Then قال أوسطهم, then بل نحن محرومون, then one of them who أوسطهم is referred to in many things in tafsir as one of the better ones of the siblings, the brothers. أوسطهم قال, what did he say? Didn't I tell you? The blame game began. Didn't I tell you? Had subhanallah tusabbihun is this idea of mentioning subhanallah, or that we shouldn't have done this. This evil idea, we should have gotten rid of it. And then Allah said, فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَلَوَمُونَ. Then they started blame gaming each other. And you can imagine, Allah didn't tell us what the blame game was. But it happens in every family. No, you did this. No, you made me do that. No, you made me do that. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَلَوَمُونَ. When does the blame game happen? When the heart has something not right in it. They didn't even, you'll notice none of them truly said, we regret doing this to Allah. They even made a dua for another Jannah. You would have, one of the ulama, and I love that tadabbur for him is, even though they might have been granted another Jannah, but really what you would have expected at the end is, how do we come back to Allah? Not how do I get another garden? Maybe Allah will give us a better one. You're still thinking dunya. And this is why Allah says, part of the corruption of the heart is, how bad do you want money? Not do you want money, everyone wants money. But does it transgress? Is it tughyan? Is it beyond the red limit that Allah put for us? Or is it before? Is your need for money and love for money leading you to cut people from inheritance, cut people from this, cut people from that? And some people label it, unfortunately, under Islam. Unfortunately. So Islam says this. يعني if you want the money, try not to put it on Allah. Just say, I want the money. I love money. It's much easier than putting it on Allah. So it's very important that we know what? Allah says, part of the reason why Quraysh could not overcome their bad behavior is they kept thinking money, money, money. Look at our situation today. We're so afraid of an economic meltdown that we would rather the world go through famine than anything happening to us. مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. The same people that will say, look at the economy, look how much wealth, we no generation was wealthier, are going to be the same people to cause famine in the world. Why? Because it was never about goodness. It was about more money. And when it went scarce, all Allah had to do is make it scarce. You see their true values. مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. Transgressor. Any questions so far about the story of Ashab al-Jannah? Did I scare you guys to the point where you're like, brother, we're not coming again? Or make sense so far? Okay. Now, Allah will take this story of Ashab al-Jannah and follow it up with a commentary, and then we'll talk about another story. Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. I'm jumping the commentary, inshallah. I just have 5 minutes left before adhan. But I want to connect something important. That the Prophet ﷺ's first big advice in the surah is to him, فَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be patient with Allah's decree. And being patient with Allah's decree means you, whatever Allah gave you, halal, haram, possibly. But since Allah said, رَبِّكَ, is whatever you're going through. Be patient, but there's a fa before isbir. Fasbir, fasbir. Fa is usually immediately. Whenever you're going through a difficult time, be patient immediately right after. Seek that sabr right away. Fasbir li hukmi rabbik. Be patient with Allah's decree. Why? It's so funny, that's exactly my doorbell. So I was going to go to the door and open the door of the masjid. Yes. Amazon. So فَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Be patient with Allah's decree. So even though they're calling you crazy, be patient with Allah's decree. فَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Or اصبر لحكم ربك comes in the Quran 3 times. Surah Al-Insan and Surah Al-Tur. فَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ in Surah وَلَا تُطِعْ after. And Surah Al-Tur وَصْبِرْ I think or is. It doesn't. وصر لحكم ربك. I'm trying to get the verse. I just know it's in Surah Al-Tur. I'll get it inshallah after Salah. But it comes 3 times in the Quran. فَإِنَّكَ بِعَيُّنِنَا. You are under our watchful eyes. So Allah says, whatever you're going through, if you're a true believer, then He told the Prophet ﷺ, you're under our watchful eyes. Just because the propaganda is severe and they're trying to get you, doesn't mean we don't care about it. You're under our watchful eyes. And in Surah Al-Qalam, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. Do not exit out of the... So what did the صاحب الحوت is the companion of the whale. Who is the companion of the whale? Sayyidina Yunus. That is the first prophet that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will learn about. So imagine you're in your first da'wah years, and I thought he'd hear about Sayyidina Ibrahim. I thought he'd hear about Sayyidina Musa. No. The first mention is Sayyidina Yunus's do not be like that part of Sayyidina Yusuf. Just that part. Sahib al-Hut, the companion of the whale, do not do that thing that he did. What did he do? What did Prophet Yunus do at the end of his career? Of da'wah? He left. He left the people when he saw... Oh, ya Habibati. I apologize. I didn't want to talk about the whale. So, do not be like the companion of the whale. What happened was Prophet Yunus alayhi salam saw the punishment of Allah coming as clouds towards his people. So he left the town. Halas, it's over. Allah did not give him permission. It's over. Don't quit your exam. Be patient. And then, فَصْبِرْ, not مع حكم ربك لحكم ربك. Ibn al-Qayyim talks about the lamb here. Lih, which means you're patient not with Allah's decree, for Allah's decree. It's for Allah. You're doing it for Allah. You're doing it out of love. So if it was ma'a, then it's as if you're in jail. I'm patient with my decree and I can't do anything. It is what it is. This is my exam. But li hukm rabbik, to him, it's because of Allah. You're doing it for him. It's out of love. You know when you do something, when you get flowers for your wife, right? You do it because you, inshallah, everyone should get flowers for their wife, inshallah. I made a commitment in front of the camera, so the sisters will call you out. When you do something for someone, it's out of love. If you do something for the sake of it, then you could have, okay, it's adhan. Inshallah, if you guys want to continue, we can continue after Maghrib. If you guys are done, we can call it quits, inshallah.